So in Psalm 112, the psalmist speaks of having true happiness that comes from fearing the Lord. Now there's a lot of consternation, a lot of anxiety over fearing the Lord. They say, well, that's not a kosher term anymore. It's not politically correct to fear an angry God. Well, fear of the Lord is commended in Scripture, and it's never condemned. I would illustrate it like this. Let's say that you have a mountain climber that is preparing to climb Mount Everest. He is looking at that great edifice of a mountain, and it is awe-inspiring. He is overwhelmed with the majesty and the size of that mountain. But yet, at the same time, he realizes there are incredible cliffs. So that mountain that is very majestic and awe-inspiring is also dangerous. It's a long ways down when you get up there. There are avalanches. The weather changes quite often, and there are a lot of potential pitfalls in a climb. So what does this climber do? Well, he studies the maps. He studies and he studies and he studies. He's constantly checking the weather. He's using all of this specialized equipment so that he can climb successfully to the peak of Mount Everest. In a similar way, not a perfect example, in a similar way, when we come to this subject of fearing God, it's not us being terrified of a wrathful deity, but it's us being awed and respectful of God's holiness, of His power, and of His wisdom. Like that mount climber, we study the map. What is the map? Scripture. Like that mount climber, we are checking the forecast regularly through the Holy Spirit and through prayer. Like that mountain climber, we use specialized equipment, and that's where we have the Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us in the direction that we're supposed to go. So here's what I'm asking today. I'm asking for all of us, starting with Neil Jackson, if we would just lean into the Holy Spirit and say, I need to grow into this subject of the fear of the Lord. Teach me today one area or several areas that I'm probably ignorant, or my understanding and my knowledge of the fear of the Lord is not, God, what you would have it to be. And I'm sure the Lord will show all of us what He would have us to know. So three truths about the fear of the Lord this morning's sermon I'm entitling, Finding Favor with God. First truth is this: the plan for fearing God. You're in Psalm 112. I want you to look up at the preceding verse in Psalm 111, verse 10. So what it says: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. So the last verse of Psalm 111 says and talks about the importance of fearing the Lord. And then you come to Psalm 112 and it just expands that thought. Psalm 112 verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Now that's not for Baptists, because we have a patent on praising the Lord. Amen? No, it says that we, in light of fearing the Lord, we should be grateful for who He is, and we should be praising Him with our words, with our music. It says, praise the Lord. Then it says, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. He's talking about successful is the man that fears the Lord. You remember Solomon in Ecclesiastes? He went on this long quest for success. Sought after knowledge. He said it's vain. Sought after pleasure. Tried all of this different stuff. Said it was vain. Sought after, I'm going to accumulate stuff. Solomon hired a merchant prince that traveled all over the world buying exotic things for Solomon. He literally had pots and pans in his house. I don't know if he used them, probably his chef did, but that were made of gold. All kinds of crazy exotic stuff. And he said, it's in vain, it's useless. At the end of Ecclesiastes, here's what he said, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So true happiness, true success is found in fearing the Lord. You say, what is fearing the Lord? It's having respect for God. It's loving God. It's saying, God, I trust you more than anything else in the world. It's a reverential awe and wonder for God Almighty. Fear of the Lord. Listen to this. It's not being afraid of God, but it is respectful that His judgment is terrifying. To fear the Lord is to love Him with all of your heart. To have such reverence for Him that you never want to displease Him. Now, trying to come up with an example to help you understand exactly what is the fear of the Lord. And I don't know if this is a perfect example, but it's going to have to do. Any of you guys know what this is? Depends where you're from. Some people it's a violin. Some people it's a fiddle. Well, I'm going to put on a show for you guys today. And I'm going to play a song that you're all going to be quite impressed with. Now, some of you are looking at me and say, well, you don't know how to hold the bow. And I'm like, I'm holding the bow the way I want to. And some of you are saying, do you know what an A, B, a C, a D? I don't go by all those rules. I'm doing it my way. I'm just going to, and you say, no, playing the violin doesn't work like that. Have you had lessons? And I'm like, I don't do lessons. I'm just doing my own thing. Are you ready? Now, I want a standing ovation. Are you ready? One. I'm not going to play. I don't want to disappoint you. Tracy is clapping. No comments, please. Hey, you get this. You get this when it comes to the violin. This is one of our kids' violins, and it's for sale really cheap if you want one. You don't get it when it comes to fearing God. See, you're telling me when it comes to violin, Pastor, you got to do lessons. Pastor, you got to follow the rules. Pastor, there are things. If you're going to be a good violinist, this is what you have to do. And God says, you want success in life? This is what you got to do. And you say, no. I'm going to do it my own way. I don't follow rules. No. You just watch me. I'm going to do it my own way. You just watch. And y'all are looking at me like, that guy's nuts thinking he's going to play the violin. And I'm looking at you saying, pardon me, some of you are nuts at living life. Can I get a witness? Look at the last part of the verse. Blessed, successful, truly happy is the man that fears the Lord. The last part of it. That delighteth greatly in His commandments. That's one who loves God's Word. That's one who obeys God's Word. That's one who says, now you want to know success. You want to know true happiness. It's not found in a can of Budweiser. It's not found in some pot. It's not found in a whole lot of money. True happiness. It's found in doing what God says is right. Delighteth greatly in His commandments. Doesn't just say obey His commandments. Says delight. You know what that is? That is what makes you smile. When something happens, my grandkids come over. You know, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I can be in the middle of something. And I'm like, sorry, I got to go. I mean, I love these kids. Now I got one of them. I have to tape his hands behind his back because we play MacGyver because he wants to get on everything. So I tape his hands behind his back and see if he can get out because he's at the other one. The other one, she's the quiet, docile one. I crazy love both of them. The active one and I'll drop everything for these. Delighteth greatly in His commandments. Right now, I'm on the chocolate kick. Someone brought us this week a chocolate layer eclair something, and it just had chocolate like on there, like really, really, really thick. And you know what? I delighted in that. I'm like, man, I got to have more, and I got to have more. Now, look at the verse. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth, that makes you smile, that you just want more and more and more of God's commandments. When you're like that, you don't know success. When you're like that, you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will know true fulfillment, true happiness. Number one, the plan for fear of the Lord. Number two, the promise for fear of the Lord. What goes along with this? If I fear the Lord, get anything out of it? What says? You'll be blessed. You'll be happy. You'll be satisfied. World's philosophers, the Platos, the Socrates, they search in vain for true happiness. Scripture says true happiness is this. When you say, God, your way is the best way, and I'm going to do it your way. Completely, I'm all in, God. I am totally trusting you. Then you'll know true happiness. That's a promise. Look at verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. A God-fearing life is passed on to one's children and his descendants. His seed shall be mighty. When I was thinking about this, I have a picture somewhere. If I found out, I would have put it on the screen. A Pastor Barbary standing out in front of the old building, beside two little saplings that had just been planted in front of that old building 60 plus years ago. When you walk out of the building, notice today those two little saplings. They're no longer saplings. They are mighty oaks. Look what it says. His seed shall be mighty. Your kids and your grandkids, they're catching what you are all about. When you have respect and awe of God, your kids are getting it. When you have respect, oh, I got to work, I got to work, I got to work, I got to work, I got to work. Oh, we need more money and more money and more money. We need more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. Your kids are getting what you're getting. Children that are raised in a condemning environment, they come out with low self-esteem. Children that are raised in a hostile environment, they come out frustrated. Those children grow up and they're angry. Children raised in affirming environments, they come out, they're assured, they're confident. But this verse says, children raised in God-fearing environments, they come out blessed. The best thing you can do for your children, fear the Lord. Hold a second. Best thing you can do for your grandchildren, fear the Lord. Have an environment. Hey, guys, we don't care what television says. We don't care what all those people in Hollywood are doing. This is what God says is right. And He is the one that's right. So as culture changes and society changes and whatever your friends are doing, we listen to God and He's always right. You teach the fear of the Lord, respect the Lord, awe, honor of the Lord. You will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your grandchildren will be blessed. Those children will be mighty. Look at the last part of the verse. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. They will be the moral fabric of the nation. A country with no such men is a country on moral decline. It's a country that is headed towards shipwreck. Now look at verse 3.
Well, what are we going to get out of it?
Look at verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever.
Well,
and I'm not saying you're going to be Bill Gates. You're going to be satisfied. David said this, I've been young and I've been old. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Or his seed begging bread. Never. Not one. How about Job? Blessed. How about Abraham? Blessed. How about Joseph? Tough situations. But what happened to old Job? He kept being blessed. Even though he didn't have a cent to his name. God kept blessing him. True with David. True with Daniel. Look at verse 4. I like this one. There's some things money can't buy. Look at verse 4. Unto the upright, those that fear the Lord, there ariseth light in the darkness. A God-fearing person experiences light in dark times. Listen, all of us are going to go into seasons of darkness. Seasons of despair, you're going to have those ER experiences. You're going to have those cemetery experiences. You're going to have those job loss experiences. You're going to have those seasons where your kids are not going to do what you've trained them up to do. What do you do? What is this? Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. Remember what Jesus said, John 8, verse 12? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Those that fear the Lord, people are melting down. And they're falling apart. How are we going to make it, man? We got fires. How are we going to make it? We got this and we got this. How are we going to make it? And you are steady cucumber. You're not falling apart because you know who made it. And because you know who made it, you know how you're going to make it. Amen? Never done it. I don't think I want to do it. I'm told that those that go deep sea diving, that the lower you go, the sun does not penetrate the water. And it gets very, very dark down there. So those divers, they take with them a powerful lamp to penetrate the darkness so that they can see those beautiful coral reefs, so that they can see Jaws as is about to kill them, so that they can see the hidden treasure that's getting ready to make them rich. in the darkness, they take with them light. Now listen to what it says. Those that are upright. Those that fear the Lord. They will have light in dark times. I want to say this respectfully. The wisest life you will ever live is living in awe of God. Living, delighting in His Word, delighting in His commands, and the most foolish life you will ever live. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm living for me. I'm not into that Bible. I'm not into that discipleship stuff. I'm just going to do my own thing. Good luck with that. We were out working on a four-wheeler the other night, and it was just getting dark. You ever try to get a screw out of something when it's dark? You're just trying to unscrew and you can't find it. But when there's light, you can get it done. So it is in our lives. In times of darkness, the world is living in darkness. We need light. And if you fear the Lord, you will have light in times of darkness. The promise for fear in the Lord. Let me give you the last one and we'll be done. The purity of fear in the Lord. The person who fears the Lord, what does he look like? Or what does she look like? Look at verse 4. Now this is where it got really convicting for me. Fear in the Lord, that's kind of out there. Delighting greatly in His commandments. Yeah, I need to do that. But how does it look? When I get to the last part of verse 4, it's where I started repenting. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is. Talking about all the fear of the Lord. Remember chapter 10, verse 111, verse 10? Fear of the Lord is beginning in wisdom. So it's all building. Here's what it is. Here's what He does. He is gracious. A God-fearing person shows grace and favor to others. A God-fearing person has a big heart. A God-fearing person looks for the needs of others and just tries to help out in their times of need. Jesus was drawn to people in need. Remember the multitudes? The disciples says, this is a problem, let's just get rid of them. But it says, Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them. We'll get to compassion in a second. He was gracious toward them. Widows, He was gracious. The diseased, the broken, the leper, Jesus was gracious. Children, Jesus wanted the children to come to them, and He picked them up, showed them grace. Scripture says this about Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verse 22. All bear Him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. We're not going to do this. We don't have the ability to do this. God does. If we recorded all of your words around the house this week, and we just took the highlight reel and played them in church on Sunday morning. One, would you show up on that Sunday? And would we clarify your words as gracious words? Would they say about you what they said about Jesus? They wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Because a lot of times, our words toward our spouse, they're not gracious. Listen, here's a thought. Jewelry costs money. There's a lot of gifts. I mean, take your spouse out to eat. That costs money. Gracious words? Guys, tip. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything to say, man, thank you for cooking for me. That was a good meal. Thank you. Your bank account did not go down, but your bank account with your wife went way up. Gracious words. One of the effects of fear in the Lord. Look at the next one. Gracious. Full of compassion. It's evidence of the graciousness. Jesus' heart overflowed with love for all. The poor. Are you compassionate to the poor? Or is your tendency, well, they just need to get a job? That's not compassion. The maimed, the halt, the blind. Remember Jesus? The leper would have to cry out, unclean, unclean. Been separated from his family for who knows how long. Jesus could just have said the words, I will, be thou clean, and he would have been healed. But Jesus reached out and touched him. Jesus, why are you touching a lame man, a leper? Compassion. A lot of times we as Christians, we God-fearing people, we lack on the gracious side. And we lack on the compassion side. Look at the next one. Gracious, full of compassion, righteous. When I was in school, especially elementary school, when they really wanted us to get something, they would repeat it. And they would say it again, and they would say it the third time, and every once in a while they would say it the fourth time. Verse 4, gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. Look up for verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Look at verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Look at verse 6. It's almost like we're back in elementary school. Verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. What the psalmist is saying is that a life that is gone, but that is a righteous life, he lives on. He has eternal influence that does not pass away. When you live a pure and righteous life, when you die, you're still living. The fruit lives on. When you live for stuff, when you live for things, when you live for power, when you live for whatever it is other than the Lord, you die, they bury you, you're gone. But when you live for righteousness, Dave, when you die, you live on. Here was my thought. Who's the person, obviously other than Jesus, who displayed all three of these? The grace, the compassion, and the righteousness. Can you think of anybody? How about up there in the balcony? My thought, the Good Samaritan. Remember him? Minding his own business, going down the road. And he sees this guy from a different nationality beaten and left for dead. He could have just said, busy, got somewhere to be, don't have time for this. What does he do? He shows grace. What does he do? He has compassion. This guy's going to die if somebody doesn't help him. I'm going to get down and I'm going to sacrifice my time and my stuff. I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to sit him on my mule. And I'm going to take him where he's supposed to go. I'm going to take money out of my pocket. I'm going to put him up in the hotel. And I'm going to put oil in his wounds. I'm going to bind him up and I'm going to take care of this guy. Grace, compassion, righteousness. Where do you get that? He did what was right. He just did what Jesus would do in that situation. Why? He was a God-fearing person. Fearing God. What does it look like? Grace, compassion, and living out right living in your life. So let me bring it home to you. What area do you need to grow in your life? I've just given you three. I could give you a lot. And in the weeks to come, I'll give you other ones. What area? Is it the gracious words? Is it having compassion on those kids? Or, Pastor, I got some unrighteous things. Some things the Lord's not pleased in my life that I need to get out of. Can I show you two other verses and we'll be done? You're in Psalm 112. Look down at verse 7 and 8. Here's the key. If you want to live this life fearing the Lord, here's the key to doing it. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I just kind of underlined that fixed. Look at verse 8. His heart is established. I thought about when we were pouring concrete and David wanted to put his handprint in my concrete and establish it there so that 50 years from now the people would come and say, who was that little kid sticking his hands in the concrete? Look what it says. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So how do we do this? Our heart is fixed on the Lord. Come what may, we're fixed on the Lord. Our heart is established. We're going to obey God, period. If it's easy, we're going to obey God. If it's hard, we're going to obey God. We are going to obey God no matter what. Here was my thought. You know what a compass is and does? You get that compass out. And that compass, if you were in Bennett, North Carolina, no matter where you are, it's always going to point north. You take that compass and you go to Alabama. All the Alabama fans, they want to point out every time Georgia loses. You go into the heart of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And you know what that compass is going to do? It's going to point north. Had a friend this week reach out from Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I mean, it's way up there. If you were to go to Wisconsin, you know what that compass is going to do? It's going to point north. If you were to go to the bluest state in this country, go to New York or California, you know what that compass is going to do? It's going to point north. You go to the reddest state in this country, I don't know what it is, whatever it is, you know what that compass is going to do? It's going to point north. That's what it's talking about. My heart is fixed, not on north, on the Lord. My heart is established, so put me at work. I'm all about Jesus. That's what we're singing about. Put me at home with the kids. I'm all about Jesus. Put me with my spouse. I'm all about Jesus. Put me with the boys. We're just having a fun night. I'm all about Jesus. My heart is that compass. It does not deviate. It's always north. And if you truly fear the Lord, your heart is fixed. Your heart is established. You're always in reverence, in awe of Almighty God. Amen?